Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into Sports Talk as we make it into the second full week of February. First full week of February, I should say. Scott Beatty here along with Lauren Tate. We're glad you're with us. We have you till 6 o'clock. How you doing, Mr. Tate?
Good.
Good to see you. Illinois basketball in action on Thursday. They take on the Badgers as an 8 p.m. tip. Tomorrow is signing day, part due. For Illinois football.
Yeah, Bob Osmussen's got us lined up with five players.
Yeah, I think that's right. With
including the kicker from Danville.
Griffith. Yeah, a kicker, two quarterbacks, a running back, and defenseman, defensive lineman.
End.
I just called him a defenseman as if they're like
that's
a hockey player. We all knew what I meant, right?
Sure.
You were just saying, though, before we started, you never make mistakes, so I feel...
I never make mistakes.
I feel
more
bad.
More than one a minute.
David Schuster from 670 The Score will join us this hour. We will catch up on some Chicago happenings or not happenings as it comes to pertains to the MLB offseason. Also, we'll hear some comments from Illini Men's Golf. Their season begins this weekend, the spring season, that is, believe it or not, with Big Ten match play. And the Big Ten is just relocating down to Florida. Don't be jealous. For the weekend to get the golf season going. So that's what's ahead. We do have some time to take some calls and texts as well. If you want to jump in on anything on your mind, 356-9397 is the number to call. And the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Some of the headlines for today to get you caught up on. And this is certainly a conversation piece. The San Francisco Giants will retire Barry Bonds' jersey, number 25. Will be retired in August, and when they play his former team, the Pittsburgh Pirates, he'll become only the 12th New York or San Francisco Giant to have his number retired, all-time home run leader.
Before you get off that, do you think he'll ever make the Hall of Fame? He and Clemens.
I think... Here's
both
what
of whom, by the way, were good enough before...
Exactly. I think he will. I think they both will.
Really?
I think they will. I think time will heal some of this. That's not necessarily me saying they should or shouldn't, but I think they will. And I think in your heart of hearts...
You got a lot of votes to go.
I know. I think, though, in your heart of hearts, you have to know that Barry Bonds was one of the best hitters of all time, and Roger Clemens was one of the best pitchers. Why they chose to cheat, it's beyond me. And there's so many arguments for and against on this.
Well, I mean, Bonds wanted to hit home runs.
Yeah.
He was making good money being a tremendous outfielder and a hitter, but... What was the most home runs he hit was, what, 19 or so? Before, or was it 29? I can't remember exactly, but it was nowhere near 73.
No.
And he put on a lot of weight over.
Oh, yeah. You could see his neck and his head just get bigger and bigger. Same thing happened with Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
We all kind of stuck our head in the sands a little bit about it.
And he might have been facing some pitchers who were also doing the same thing. He might have.
Yeah. So and
I don't think everybody got caught, do you?
No. No way. Absolutely not. I think in your heart of hearts, you go, is that a Hall of Fame caliber player? Yeah.
Ooh, yes.
What about Pete Rose, right? I mean, it's different.
Well, that is, you know.
He did not necessarily cheat in the game, but is he a best hitter of all time?
Gambling, oh,
he's in that conversation.
Oh, yeah. Gambling's illegal.
Yep. So I understand where that just disqualifies you.
They had it posted. He said he didn't gamble. He just bet on his own team.
That's called just being cocky. Meanwhile, baseball players union head Tony Clark says the number of rebuilding teams and unsigned free agents in a historically slow market threaten the very integrity of our game.
103 as of yesterday? 103 free agents? Did you hear that?
Yes, that's right. 53 have signed out of 166. So, yeah, 103 or 113, that is, unsigned as of the beginning of the day.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
It sounds like collusion, doesn't it? It's
and,
not.
And that may well be what it is. That may.
I think
well,
people are just asking for too much. I mean, at least some pitchers that I know of.
Yeah. Clark issued a statement today and spoke in a telephone interview with the Associated Press. He says a significant number of teams are engaged in a race to the bottom, and, quote, this conduct is a fundamental breach of trust between a team and its fans. Yeah, 53 out of 166 unsigned. That includes J.D. Martinez, Jake Arrieta, Yu Darvish, Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, among others, looking for a place to play come spring training. Cubs open spring training on the 13th. So that is next week. What are we, today? That's a week from today.
Can't wait.
Some people don't know where they're going to be playing. in a week from today where they're going to report to.
That's
gotta
right.
get some tickets bought. Football news. Indianapolis Colts have officially hired Josh McDaniels away from the New England Patriots. He was their offensive coordinator. NFL rules prohibited the Colts from making that hire official until the Patriots season ended. McDaniels won 5 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, went 11-17 as a head coach with Denver in 2009 and 2010. It is a new day in the NFL. Would you have believed that Tom Brady was going to throw 3 touchdowns, over 500 yards, no picks, and what was it, New England never punted in the game and lost?
Well, he gave up 41 points. That's a lot.
The defense gave up 41 points.
Yep.
And the Eagles defense gave up 33.
High scoring game, wasn't it?
Exactly. I don't think.
Came down to one fumble.
I don't think there's really superstar defensive players right now in the NFL.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm not saying bad players. I'm just saying you used to have marquee names on defense.
All I know is some guy named Peterson, who I didn't know very much about, called the game of his life. He went for it every time. He concluded, and I'm sure that they all knew this in advance, it didn't make any difference whether Brady had to go 80 yards for a touchdown or 40 yards for a touchdown. Why punt? Try to get the first down. He ran on fourth down at midfield and made it. He tried a 4th-and-1 on the goal line and made it. Those are the difference in the ball game. Atlanta quit doing that, quit trying to score late in that game a year ago after he had that 28-3 lead.
He gambled a bit.
Yeah.
It paid off.
Yes.
But there is support. I've read about it. There is support that you should go for it more than coaches typically do.
Yeah. Most coaches will kick a field goal on 4th down regardless of anything.
How many coaches would have just taken the points at the end of the first half? Just taking those points. New England's going to get the ball. Let's get something here and go to the locker room. And
did you hear what he said? Why he went for the touchdown instead of the field goal? He said, we could have kicked then we would have been trailing at half probably.
Yeah.
He wanted to go for it.
He did, and it paid off. It was, look, if you don't have skin in the game, if you're not a fan of one of those teams, especially if you weren't a fan of Philly, that was really entertaining.
It really was.
That's the way you want to see football played.
Back and forth, back and forth.
I mean, that's almost getting towards arena football, you know, and type of stuff.
Yep.
That's very entertaining. But at the same time, the smash mouth, I mean, where are the Brian Urlachers right now? I think it's just so hard to play defense now, plus the new rules and it's at the college level too, and how games are being called, how defense pass interference is called and all that. I think it's hard to play defense now. I think it really is. The offense is getting very complex. They spread things out. There's all these different schemes. It's an offensive game again.
But, you know, we should have had a suspicion about Philadelphia after the way they beat Minnesota. Minnesota had a lot to gain. They wanted to go back and play in the Super Bowl in their own hometown, and that looked like what was going to happen, but they beat them to death.
I was one of these guys that thought Nick Foles was going to regress to the mean. There's no way he's going to have 3 great games in the playoffs.
Yeah, he did.
What a remarkable story.
Yeah.
Your superstar or close to it starting quarterback goes down.
Now what do you do? The big question is, who's the quarterback when they start the season next year for Philadelphia? Wentz?
Oh, yeah. Wentz is the better quarterback.
Okay.
But what does that mean for Nick Foles?
What does that mean for Foles?
Yeah.
He's got a contract for $5 million. You think that he will live up to that contract, or you think he'll demand that he get a raise or get traded or what? I mean, how valuable would he be to somebody, let's say, like a Denver, for instance?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you? I mean, I'd take a chance. I saw enough. I mean, I know he had some average games during the season, but boy, oh boy, those last 3 were sensational. Over 70% completions.
He was in the 60s for the Super Bowl.
I know it. And the other 2 was around 77, 78.
Incredible. It was a really entertaining game. And, you know, for all that was, the ironic thing is everything that's down in the NFL in terms of the ratings and attendance and the controversies surrounding it, you couldn't ask for a better ball game. You really couldn't. And some of these Super Bowls in the last 10 years have been really good, entertaining ball games.
Yep.
They haven't been the blowouts of yesteryear.
It always gets interesting when New England gets behind.
Mm-hmm.
Can they do it again and again and again?
He was one pass from trying to tie that thing up.
Uh-huh.
That when you're in that situation, it's a low percentage, that the Hail Mary. You can weigh in with us, 356-9397, certainly on any of that or any other Illini talk of the day. Speaking of the Super Bowl, Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler, he wasn't in the ballgame much at all. Maybe that would have made a difference. He says he was benched for reports of a combination of things, for missing a curfew, for illness, and not having a good week of practice. Patriots cornerback Malcolm Butler says he did not miss a curfew or do anything off the field that would have hurt New England's chances of winning the Super Bowl before he was benched for the game. In a statement released today on Twitter and Instagram, Butler says reports of misconduct off the field are ridiculous. He says he visited with family every night while in Minneapolis. He adds, "I never attended any concert, missed curfew, or participated in any of the ridiculous activities being reported. They are not only false, but hurtful to me and my family." I give the guy the benefit of the doubt, but why in the world would Bill Belichick not play a superior defensive
end? There's something there that
secondary.
We don't know.
Exactly. I mean, there's no way that Bill Belichick says, let's just take the quality of defense down here a notch so I can prove something. Illinois women's tennis proved something. Maya Rabinowitz, Big Ten Athlete of the Week for the Big Ten, announced today. She's the first Illini freshman to win that since Emily Wang back in 2004. She clinched the Illini's 4-2 win over number 11 Texas on Friday night at the Atkins Tennis Center. Evan Clark has got that group going here early in the season. Fighting Illini senior Alex Vukic also wins on the men's side, the Athlete of the Week for the Big Ten. He went 3-1 overall last weekend with a pair of top five wins, helping Illinois defeat Duke. So congratulations to the men's tennis teams that are off, and women's tennis teams that are off to good starts.
Brad Dancer said that he's going to arrange or allow for some professional tournaments for Vukic during this coming season.
He's going to be a good one.
Oh, man. He already is.
But
he's a contender for the number one player in the nation, but Ohio State, again, is just very, very good. Illinois is very, very good, and they're two of the top teams, but whether Illinois can catch up to Ohio State's another question.
Boys basketball polls are out for this week. Danville, number 4 in Class 4A at 18-2. Simeon is number 1 in the state in that one. Class 3A is led by Springfield Southeast. Champaign Central is at number 10. They're 15-7 overall. Class 2A has Monticello at number 6. St. Joe Ogden is getting votes in that. By the way, St. Joe Ogden and Rantoul are the matchup tonight. You'll hear here on DWS. Tim and Michael have the call at 7:30. What else is going on for today? I got
a note for you. A really good friend, Bob Aller, passed away. Bob was an attorney who represented more Illini athletes who were wayward than anybody ever, I guess. And he was in charge of when the slush fund happened. He was involved with the Dave Wilson case. He was deeply involved in that. And he had been in ill health in recent years. He ran a baseball team one summer, minor league type team at the one year that they played at the Illini Field. Mm-hmm. And that's been several years back. But Bob Aller is a well-known guy around town, and it's tough to see him go.
Our condolences. David Schuster will join us from WSCR. When we come back, we'll catch the latest up in Chicago. You've got Sports Talk. 526 Sports Talk. Scott and Lauren with you. Pleased to have with us from Chicago, David Schuster, covers a variety of things up there for WSCR, the 670 The Score. David, good to hear from you. How are you?
And good to hear from you guys. I'm doing just great. I was in Florida last week when it was 80, 85 degrees, and now I'm back to near zero with snow all over the place. So a little depression going on, but other than that, I'm pretty good.
Hey, I was in Florida over winter break, and it was 50 degrees.
Oh.
At 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It was 35 in the morning, so I'm gonna be jealous with you, but hey, we were just lamenting a little bit there off here. What's the best sports thing going on right now in the state of Illinois in terms of on-field success?
Well, on-field success, I guess, would be Loyola basketball because I mean they're 18-4, but really Loyola basketball really doesn't cut it here in Chicago. But I guess when you go from a record situation, I guess it would be them. But, they're going to have to win, likely, their conference tournament. Even though they're in the Valley, and the Valley has a little bit more credence where they used to be in the Horizon League, they're either going to have to win their tournament or losing the championship game because there's going to be so many other schools from so many other conferences that get in. But again, performance-wise, I guess it'd be Loyola. The Bulls, you know, are obviously they're starting to tank. Management made sure of that by, you know, trading Miritich, by, you know, making sure that Chris Dunn's concussion goes on for about two more years, seemingly. Lauri Markkanen had his child born, and he was going to join up with the team, but then a little snowstorm got in the way, and they decided, yeah, the heck with it. We'll just have him sit back here. And so, you know, they're starting to lose because they don't have really many good players anymore, and management doesn't want them to win. And then there's the Blackhawks, who right now I'm at the United Center. They're fighting to get into a playoff spot, but I think it's an uphill climb for them. The Bears are looking ahead towards free agency and the draft, and, of course, thank God spring training starts in just about a week and a half from now, and I guess we can dream about warmer days once spring training starts.
Will anybody be there for spring training? Not fans. I mean, talking about players.
Well, you know, the ones under contract, yeah, I think they will. They talked about it. It was really interesting. You saw the story as well, guys. They talked about maybe not going on strike, but at least staying out for a day or two to get their point across. But I guess they deemed at this juncture not to do it. Maybe they'll do it somewhere further down the road. I don't think there's any question. There is some kind of collusion going on, but it's always tough to prove to a federal judge, especially when you sign a few players to contracts with big money. Once you sign like a Wade Davis to the 3-year $51 or $2 million contract that he got, and some of these other guys are getting 2-year contracts for anywhere from $15 to $25 million, they're opening up their wallets to a degree, but they're also not opening up the way the agents and the players want them to with the big-name free agents. So I don't think there's any question. There is some kind of collusion going on, but I don't think they can prove it in the court.
You know, with that, and I lost my thought here, and it was going to be really brilliant and insightful. But
you're going to bring up Boris?
Well, I mean, Boris has sort of beaten that drum. It's hard to have sympathy because we're talking about millionaires and billionaires again. The same thing we were talking about in 1994. It's hard to have sympathy for either side in this, but yet they all feel that they have a legitimate place to stand on this.
Well, you know, because the owners have been stupid in the past, the agents and the players think that they should continue being stupid. But I guess nowadays the owners have decided they're not going to be as stupid as they were in the past, for lack of a better description. They're still going to fork out a lot of money, but they want to make more money than they've made in the past. So, again, I don't know how this is going to end up with some of these big-name free agents. This is sort of a battle of wills, and we'll see who ends up, you know, screaming chicken first. But, you know, where Jake Arrieta goes, where Yu Darvish goes, where some of these other big-name free agents ultimately go, that remains to be seen. I think ultimately they'll go somewhere, but I don't think they'll ever get the money. Like, once upon a time, Jake Arrieta had dreams of getting $30 million times 7 years, $210 million. That's not going to happen. Not now, not ever, maybe again, for him at least. So, you know, again, someone's going to crack at some point. We'll see which side is the first one to do it.
Now I remember Buster Olney had said on ESPN that what players are probably realizing is if they don't show up to spring training, that's a breach of contract, and
sure,
their contract can be null and void. And there's a lot of them that cannot afford to be in that situation. So that's one reason probably why they can show their teeth a little bit about not showing up to spring training, but it's not going to happen.
No, I don't think so either, and you make a good point. You know, it was sort of interesting. I saw somebody the other day, and maybe it was Boros or one of the other agents, saying, well, you have 1,200 alpha males going against a small fraternity of 30 billionaires, and the alpha males will win. No, they won't, actually, because the billionaires still control the purse strings, you know, any which way you look at it. So ultimately, the owners seemingly win all the time, and even when they don't win, you know, the players or owners, they're still making money hand over fist. I don't know what they're arguing about. I would take a tenth of what these guys are getting, maybe even 1% of what they're getting. So I don't have any sympathy for any of these guys.
Davis, tell me the starting rotation for the Cubs is Montgomery number five. Who's number five?
Well, he is right now, Lauren, to be honest with you. I mean, the Cubs keep talking about adding another starting pitcher, whether it's an Arrieta, whether it's a Darvish, whether it's a Cobb, you know, the free agent from Tampa Bay, whether even trading, although I don't think they'll trade any of their guys on their roster for anybody at this point. So unless they sign somebody else, and I still think that they ultimately will, Montgomery is number five, and you heard him barking so far here in the offseason. that he, you know, if he doesn't get a shot at being a starting pitcher, he wants to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, he's under contract too, to be honest with you. So he doesn't really have much say on the matter either at this juncture. And, you know, he's very valuable in a swing role. He just, I don't blame him. His ego and you know, his heart say that he wants to be a starter, but as of right now, he would be. But if they add another starting pitcher, I think he goes right back into the bullpen.
And who are the first four?
Well, the first four would be, I got to think about this real quickly. Forget who they even signed because I'm not in baseball mode.
Lester. I forgot his. Lester'd be
well, there. Lester, of course. Lester, of course. Hendricks is two. Jesus, I'm spacing out
Chatwood.
Right now, guys.
Chatwood.
Chatwood is the guy who they signed. Yes, it's three.
And Jose
and then,
Quintana.
And Quintana, of course, is four. So, right now Montgomery would be five. But if they do, and I think they will, ultimately sign another starting pitcher, then I guess Montgomery goes right back into the bullpen, like I said.
Circling back to this free agency discussion, the Mariners general manager, Jerry DePoto, said recently that more teams are competing for the top draft pick than for the World Series title. In other words, going into rebuilding mode, tanking, that kind of thing to set something up for the future. Well, this is kind of the Theo Epstein way now, and it's what the White Sox are trying to do too. You know, if it comes out that you're a world champion in 3 to 5 years, same with the Houston Astros, I think fans like it in the long run.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, in baseball and all sports, it's monkey see, monkey do. You know, you follow what the last team did that was successful. We'll take a look at the last two world champions in baseball, the Cubs and then the Astros. These are two teams that were, you know, I mean, the Cubs lost 100 games three straight years or close to it. The Astros were, you know, carbon copy, but ultimately they both not only got over the hump, they won the whole damn thing. So, yeah, this is the way to do it, and you're seeing this in basketball, and you're seeing this in other sports too. If you, you know, you don't want to be in what they call basketball or baseball hell and be in the middle and not have a chance of winning anything. And so if you have to bottom out, tank, call it what you want, that's what you have to do to get to the promised land. And listen, the White Sox might, you know, be on – it's not exactly apples and apples here, but they're doing the same thing that the Cubs did. They got a lot of high draft picks. They signed some international free agents, that one of the kids from Cuba. And they have just a loaded minor league system, and you can either have these guys advance up to the majors at some point or use them as trade bait. I think it's the smart way to go. You need your fan base to be patient. The Cubs fan base was. The White Sox fan base is actually excited about what could happen over the next year, two, or three. But, again, you're going to lose a lot of games in the interim, and that's what the Cubs did, and that's what the White Sox are currently doing.
Just because you bring in a lot of young guys and start over – doesn't mean your third baseman is going to be MVP right off the bat. Doesn't mean that Schwarber's going to hit the ball all over the place when he breaks in. It doesn't mean – I mean, they had a lot of guys. Russell was a crack shortstop as soon as he hit the majors, it looked to me like. I think they've had a lot of – well, anybody that wins has some good fortune, right, Dave?
Absolutely. I mean, you always need luck on your side, Lauren, for sure. And, you know, you could load up your minor league system with – let's just say you have and the White Sox do. I think they have 7 or 8 of the top 100 prospects right now in Major League Baseball at the minor league level. But again, the key word here is prospects because they haven't done it at the major league level. And I think the adage is if you get half of them to end up being successful, if not even better than successful major leaguers, then you've done your job. But you're absolutely right. They don't all pan out. And of course you need luck. And already one of the White Sox kids that they were counting on, his name is Zach Birdie, throws 100 miles an hour. He would have been probably their closer this year upcoming at some juncture, but he blew out his arm, his elbow last year. He had Tommy John surgery, so he's not even going to pitch probably this upcoming season. So he's another year down the road. So you do definitely need luck on your side.
Let's take this now into football, kind of what we're talking about, this rebuilding thing, because you know, the Eagles just winning the Super Bowl, they were not a very good football team just a couple of years ago, and now the Bears have this new head coach. Is this a model or a mold here that the Bears might be trying to follow? I'm not trying to say the Bears are in the same place that Philadelphia was a couple of years ago, but you have an up-and-coming coach with who's probably going to be more creative on offense. What does this bode for the Bears?
You got to get lucky again. You know, their draft picks Some have panned out. Quite a few haven't. Their very first one by Ryan Pace, Kevin White. I mean, he's been injured 3 years straight, so that's been bad luck or whatever. You got to get lucky. I mean, take a look at the L.A. Rams. They were terrible the preceding year. They got a new coach, a new system. They got somebody who tutored their young quarterback. This all sounds like what I'm talking about with the Bears, hopefully upcoming. And then all of a sudden the Rams became a very good team that got into the playoffs and probably will be even better next season. I think that's the model that the Bears are looking at. They have a young quarterback. They've brought in numerous coaches who will try and groom this guy, but he needs weapons. I mean, he didn't have any wide receivers worth their weight, you know, to worth their weight in salt even, much less gold, to throw to. So he needs some weapons. You always need an offensive line, and you need your defense to be good. But I think the model that they'd be looking at is what the Rams did last year with a new, young, exciting, offensive-minded coach and a lot of other guys to help out their young quarterback.
You've seen a lot of new head coaches come into Chicago. How is the buzz around Matt Nagy compared to others?
Well, the buzz about him is certainly better than it was about John Fox. John Fox is about like stale bread when he came in. and he coached like it, too, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, he may or may not coach ever again, to be honest with you. I think he's probably set for life if he wants to. But he just didn't seem to have the enthusiasm, you know, that maybe he had when he was a younger coach elsewhere, both in Denver and in Carolina.
He's no Lauren Tate. Has, you know,
no, of course not. There's nobody's got excitement like Lauren Tate and energy. But, you know, this guy seems to say all the right things. He's an offensive-minded coach. He's learned under some incredibly smart people previous where he was as an assistant. So, knock on wood, you know, he comes through. But, again, the players ultimately win the football games. The coaches certainly help, but the players need to win the games.
Brian Urlacher, first ballot Hall of Famer, elected on Friday, I think it was. You'd like to see him going in there as a first ballot guy?
Yeah, there was no question in my mind. I mean, to me, it's an eye test when you're watching a player. Yeah, you look at all the numbers and all the different sports, and then you add them all up and say, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer or he's not. But listen, I watched Brian Urlacher's entire career. He stood out. He was definitely a Hall of Famer. He was different because he was fast, really fast. You know, he was a safety in college. He still, you know, stood 6'3", 6'4". I think he came into the league about 230, but by the time his, you know, he got to his prime years, he was probably weighing 255, almost 260, but never lost any speed. So not only was he incredibly quick, but he was strong. He could cover in Lovie Smith's cover two defense. He could cover guys coming out of the backfield, whether they were running backs or tight ends. I mean, he could run from side to side. And in that famous game when the Bears, you know, won out in Arizona, and Dennis Green said,
they are who
the
they
are
thought.
Who we thought they are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that the Bears came from way behind, and everybody will remember that they rallied to win the game, and it was Devin Hester with, you know, the punt return or kick return that turned the tide or whatever it was. But Brian Urlacher had 25 tackles in that game, and I was out there in Arizona, and every time you saw Arizona with the football, whoever had the ball in their hands, Urlacher was tackling them, and he did that numerous times. He was just a phenomenal athlete. Wasn't always good with the media for what little that may be worth, but he was a phenomenal athlete and no question the first ballot Hall of Famer.
One more thing I want to bounce off you, David, and we appreciate your time very much.
Sure.
We were talking at the outset that Barry Bonds is going to have his number retired by the Giants. Mm-hmm. What would happen if the Cubs made an announcement that Sammy Sosa is getting his number retired?
Well, it won't happen, to be honest with you, at least not in the foreseeable future, because right now, I mean, even at the Cubs convention a month ago, their owner, Tom Ricketts, said, you know, until he apologizes, and I'm not really sure what he wants him to apologize for, although I have my guesses here, he's not even being accepted to come back at all to Wrigley Field, much less have his number retired. You know, do I think Sammy Sosa did steroids? Of course he did. There's no question in mine and in other people's minds. But also, you know, what they're apparently even further upset about is that at the very tail end of his career, he pretty much, you know, walked away from the ball club, literally and figuratively. The last game at Wrigley Field, he walked out, and it's documented, he walked out before the game was even over. And he never apologized for that. So I think they want him to come clean, pun intended, on a lot of different subjects. And then maybe at that point he comes back into their graces. But until that happens, he's absolutely persona non grata.
Would fans embrace it?
I think they would, to be honest with you, because let's face it. I mean, he gave incredible thrills. I you know, as it was all happening, did I think, okay, this guy's a steroid freak? No, I didn't really think that at the time. I was just, you know, enamored with what he and McGuire were doing. I mean, you know, going to the games early for batting practice when the Cardinals were in town, whether here or at Busch, I mean, you had to get to the stadium early just to see these two guys hit balls like God, like Paul Bunyan, across the street, no matter which park they were appearing in. So, yeah, I think the fans would embrace it because he gave them a lot of thrills. But right now, like I said, he's persona non grata with the management, and that's what counts.
David, you are not a persona non grata here with us, so we appreciate it, and you're always welcome on our airwaves.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. I love being on with you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. David Schuster from 670 The Score. You can follow him on Twitter at ShoeMouse, S-C-H-U Mouse on Twitter. Sammy Sosa, boy, it was really fun when it was all happening.
Yeah.
Go back to the Bash Brothers, too, the Athletics.
I guess we didn't know at the time, did we?
Well, yeah. I think we chose not to know. I think we just chose to deny it. All right, we got more coming up. We'll hear a little bit from some of the Illinois golf players and Mike Small as well as they get ready to open up the spring season. Sports Talk. Scott and Lauren here with you on Tuesday. So glad you are along with us. We appreciate it always. A little time to take a call or two, text or two as well. You can join us 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. Tomorrow is signing day again for Illinois football as the next signing period starts. We will hear from Lovie Smith tomorrow and a couple of the assistants as they talk about this next class of or this part of the class that is committing to Illinois. And we know most of them waiting on the linebacker Merlin Robertson out of California where he might go.
Yeah, he's down to a couple of schools, and Illinois is one of them. They need another linebacker just for numbers.
Yeah, and they should get back Hanson this year.
Yes, sir.
And that would be a great addition.
They got Tolson coming in. They got a linebacker already. One linebacker already committed. So I mean, already signed, rather. So now they need another one for sure because they let two get away, Trey Watson and Jones, both of whom were starters this past season.
All right. Yeah, Illinois Golf is headed down to Florida for Big Ten match play this weekend. They talked with us a little bit yesterday, and star Dylan Meyer is entering his final season as an Illini golfer and talked about his mindset.
To help make sure the farmers have access to capital.
Well, that's not a golfer, is that? Here we go. Dylan Meyer.
The only thing that's going through my head is win. You know, I just want to win, just keep racking up as many wins as we can get. You know, like we all, coach always talks about, now we've talked about over the last 4 years is, you know, just get to that championship leg and just own it. You know, dominate Big Tens, dominate regionals, and then go in and try to win the national championship. That's what you come and play college sports for, is you want to win the national championship, and I think we have a really good shot this year of doing that.
His teammate Nick Hardy talking about the difference between last year and this year. They're missing Eduardo Liparelli now.
Honestly, there's not much different. Obviously, we welcomed two freshmen, and they've come along pretty well. I think they've made some strides, so hopefully we'll have contributions from everyone because we need everyone this spring in order to, you know, get that national championship and achieve our goals.
So what does Coach Mike Small want to see from his guys this weekend?
And just to play golf. Like, we're going to talk today at practice. You know, they were recruited here to play for Illinois golf because they were recruited to play golf. And they're good enough now to play golf. They don't have to sit here and wait a year, two, 3 years to get their games ready to play here. In golf, you can get confused by trying to do it too perfectly and trying to get better and better instead of just going out and doing it. I equate it to shooting baskets, shooting jump shots. You know, you can't really teach somebody to shoot jump shots very well during the middle of the season. And you got to go just do it. You dance with the lady that brung in. You got to go compete. And it's getting to the point of the season when we start getting outside more consistently. You got to go play. Go play the game you know and bring your talents and let it flow. And don't try to do everything so perfectly and don't try to do everything the coaches tell you to do every time. Just kind of relax and go shoot the ball as a basketballer, you know, or in golf, hit the shots. Don't overthink it.
I really like hearing Mike Small talk.
Did you ever hear a guy that makes more sense than he does on a
yes.
consistent basis about different subjects week after week, I mean, year after year?
Yeah, you could see why his name was thrown around for an athletic director.
The last 8 years, did you hear what he said? The last 8 years, the number one ranked team in the United States is Illinois in golf.
In terms of finishes? And
in terms of their finishes in the NCAA tournament, they have more top finishes than anyone
is
in
there
any school.
Is there a sport, too, that screws with your head more than golf?
Well, I don't think so, but I think it really helps to have a guy that unscrews it for you.
Yeah.
As he does. But, you know, the thing you got to remember, and he said this again yesterday, a lot of top players, many, many, many top players turn him down because they don't want to play in the cold. They down in Florida, they're out hitting balls today. Here we're trying to tromp through the snow.
Mm-hmm. And I asked a stupid question of how does this limit you, because they do have that huge facility, and they have the bays where they can hit from the indoors out into the range, but they're not out there playing golf.
No.
They're hitting. They're doing their short game. They're doing all the fundamentals and all that. That's what they've been working on. But they haven't gone out there and played golf. And that can put you at a disadvantage. And some guys just don't want to deal with the cold. But the other half of it is just being able to play at any time you want.
He said the really tough part is getting somebody from the south to come north. Northern guys might be more willing to stay northern. But there aren't as many good golfers in the northern states as there are in the southern states, simply because they have more opportunity to play down there.
So Mike Small talking now about his team that is without Eduardo and went through a little bit of a rough fall.
I think last fall was, you know, I think we're at 12 and 15 in a couple polls and 22 in the other one, which normally for a northern golf program would be off the charts. It'd be great, but it's not what we've been doing for the last few years. And I think there's been a little bit of tension, a little bit of disappointment maybe on the guy's part, because we didn't play as well. I don't think we played as well as an entire team. I think everybody at one time or another showed they can play, but the consistency wasn't there. Getting back to, we need to play better when our games aren't perfect. That's when, to be a professional, you got to make money and you got to play well when you don't feel your best, when your game isn't the best. And everybody plays well when their game's playing well, but we need to have a little more stability and a little more stamina to play when we're not. And that's something that this team has to learn, especially in the absence of Eduardo.
You know, it's not as easy as, though, to recruit to Illinois. He's saying everybody in the Big Ten is caught up with facilities.
Yeah, he said 11 schools have got what we have.
Yeah, and Purdue just built a new course. Indiana's building a new facility. I didn't realize that. So there has to be something else that he's doing to recruit guys besides just the flash of those facilities.
He's got the advantage of years of success.
Exactly, and he's one of those guys that literally practices what he preaches. And I don't know, that takes away from other coaches out there in the game of golf. And it's one of the sports where the coach can play and coach.
I was going to ask you, how important do you think it is that he's probably the best player among the coaches in the Big Ten, the best player?
Well, not every good player can coach, but that's a good player that can coach is something special.
Got a little edge.
Exactly. So we got a text here from a friend here saying Mike Small is the best mind in golf game right now, his game and in his entire team, 5 to 10 professionals. Yeah, that's it. I mean, he is one of the best programs athletically in college sports right now.
Yeah.
It's up there with, you know,
Race
like a UConn in women's basketball.
Who was the best coach, Small or Ty Lee?
See,
won a national championship.
See,
Mike
I wasn't
Small
here with
Tyler. So.
Yeah, that's right.
But Tyler had a string of champions, Big Ten champions.
Well, you know, and that, I mean, yeah, it was always too like, who, you know, there's all these great players in sports that never win the Super Bowl or the World Series or the NBA Finals.
But here we got a guy from Danville, and the other guy was working in the shop there. I mean, you know, teaching tennis at the Atkins Center, and all of a sudden, they named him coach, and a lot of people thought, who's that, you know, Tyley? I mean, is he going to be any good? And the next thing you know, he turned it around.
Back to wrap things up in a moment. The first time this year that Illinois basketball will play a team again.
And they need to do better than they did the last time against Wisconsin, which, by the way, that's Wisconsin's only win in the last 9 games. Can you believe that?
It'd be awfully hard to play worse.
Well, Wisconsin played good and Illinois played bad, and that's what happened. But I think you'll see a different result this Thursday.
A different outcome? You think Illinois can win this game?
Definitely. No, they can. I mean, I think that Illinois has to make some shots. Everybody has to do that to win games. But Wisconsin's not the threat that they were.
No, I thought it was a bad matchup, and I think the first time Underwood saw that, I think it caught them off guard a little bit, and they didn't know how to solve it right away. But they'll know how to play this game this time. Now, that's taking nothing away from Wisconsin. I mean, everybody makes their adjustments, but Wisconsin's not very talented.
They don't. They no, but they have a really good player.
Yeah.
Named Happ, who is going to be very difficult for Illinois to guard. Illinois has nobody that can guard him. No single guy.
I think he's hard. Wait till it's Isaac Haas from Purdue. That'll be doubly hard.
Yeah. Well, that's another story because he's surrounded by good shooters.
Yeah.
Terrific three-point shooters on the Purdue team.
All right. Thanks to David Schuster for joining us tonight. We appreciate him. We appreciate hearing from Mike Small, Nick Hardy, and Dylan Meyer. Thanks for you all listening tonight. We appreciate that most of all. Evan Kahn is our producer tonight, and Ed Bond is our chief engineer. Lauren, thanks much. We'll see you Thursday night for basketball.
Thank you. I'll be there.
We'll do it again tomorrow night. We'll hear from Lovie Smith and Brad Underwood. Also, Jason Hegemeyer from the U of I will join us as well. It's News Talk 1400, WDWS Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station. High school basketball at 7:30 at 6 o'clock.